Praise the Lord. We're so glad to have you all join us this morning at Oasis Christian Center. And I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock. And we just know that if you tuned in with us today, that God has a special word just for you. So be ready to receive what God has for you today. Amen.
And we're going to do something that we do here when we have a full crowd of people. And when you all come back, you know what we do. We do neighbor looking time. So we're going to do neighbor looking time this morning. We're going to look at each other. We're going to smile at each other. We're going to point at each other. And we're going to say, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'll never ever
be the same
again.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Lord, in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service this day. Father, I thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. I thank you for revelation knowledge this day. I thank you that we see things in your word today that we've never seen before in a deeper way. I thank you that those things get down into our spirit today and they change us. Holy Spirit, help me to present this message today the way you want it said. And we just thank you for everything that's going to happen this day and this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is Emotional Healing and Restoration. And the scripture that I'm going to start with is Joel 2 and 25. This is in the King James. And I'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. And we'll also read it in the Good News Translation. I'll give you back what you lost in the years when swarms of locusts ate your crops. We'll read it in the Living. And I will give you back the crops the locust ate. New American Bible Revised Edition. I will repay you double what the swarming locust has eaten. I like that promise. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, you don't understand what I lost. I had a divorce and I lost years of my life. God said in His Word that He will restore to you the years that you lost. One translation says God will make it up for you for the years that you lost. Well, Pastor, I lost my childhood. I was abused as a child. God says, I will make it up to you. I will heal those broken places in you. I will take away the painful memories. I will heal you, says the Lord. I will make you whole again. Well, Pastor, I was on drugs for years and years, and I ruined my own life. But God says, even though it was your wrong choice, I will restore to you the years you lost from your own wrong choices. I will make it up to you because now you're living for me, and I'll redeem the time that you have left. I'll give you quality time, and I will restore. Anything that you or I have lost, God wants to restore it better to us. Now, I'm going to give you a personal illustration about my dad. I've talked about my dad a lot in a lot of my ministering, and I really love my dad. When my dad was 15 years old, I've never told this before, but when he was 15 years old, his father died. And then his mother, my grandmother, went to New York and stayed with her daughter, my dad's oldest sister. She left my dad by himself at 15 years old. She abandoned him. She wasn't thinking clearly, I'm sure, with the loss of her husband, but he had just lost his dad. And now his mom had moved away. He's all by himself. He has nothing. He has no way to do anything. He wound up living with his friends. He had wounds and hurts emotionally, and he started turning to alcohol. Then he went away to war a couple of years later, and he was a tail gunner in the Army Air Corps. He was on a crew, and he had flown over and over with them. They had missions all the time, and he had grown very close to this crew of men. And one mission that they were going to go on, my dad got grounded because he had flown too many missions. So they left him grounded, and his whole crew got to go. All of his buddies, all of his friends, they got to go. Well, that plane was shot down. My dad was spared, but that plane was shot down. He had the grief of all of that. Then they put him on another crew, and he flew, and he made new friends, and he's close to all these guys. And as it worked out, as God worked it out for him to save him, again, he was pulled off the crew because he had too many flight hours, and they pulled him off, and that crew was shot down. His friends, again, that he had, you know, become friends with, and they were close buddies and close associates of his, and all of them were dead. I loved my father, and I understood how he was trying to deal with the loss of his father and being abandoned by his mother, losing all of his friends in two separate plane crashes. I can understand how he became an alcoholic. Now, I know there's a lot of people that beat their parents up. They do it their whole life. They say, my parents made this mistake, my parents made that mistake. That is definitely not what I'm doing. I'm almost 60 years old, and I got news for you. I've got a revelation that my parents did the best they knew how. They tried as hard as they knew how to try. And, you know, certainly they weren't perfect parents, but I'm not a perfect parent either. And, you know, they did everything they knew, and God helped them as much as they had light of His Word. But my mom, and again, I don't want to beat up on my parents because I love my parents, and I thank God for my parents, my father and my mother. My mom and so many people had prayed for my dad for years and years. And my dad was told over and over by people, you need to give up alcohol. You need to change. My dad tried to change. Over and over and over he tried to change, but he couldn't do it by himself. The truth is, people telling him that he needed to change, that didn't help him. But all the prayers that were prayed for him allowed the Holy Spirit to do an inward work in my father. A friend of my mom's invited them to church, and my dad got born again, and he accepted the Lord. My dad gave up alcohol. He was delivered instantly from alcohol. He never drank another drop the rest of his life. It was a work of the Holy Spirit in his life. It was the grace of God. My dad's story didn't end as an alcoholic. It ended as him being a free man, on fire for God, living for God. God restored my dad to wholeness. God healed the broken parts of my dad's heart. Psalms 23:3 in King James says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now here's one I've never seen before. This is Psalms 23:3 in the complete Jewish Bible. I love it. He restores my inner person. See, we have to be restored on the inside. That's where we look at the outside of people, and we look at the outside of us, but it's the inside that the Holy Spirit has to do the work on. So let the Holy Spirit do His work inside people. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit in your spouse's life or other people's life or your grown children's life by nagging them, by guilting them, by shaming them, by pressuring them. Pray, and God will send the right people across their path to minister the right words to them at the right time. As you're praying, the Holy Spirit is orchestrating people across their path. But Pastor, my loved one does this and they do that. They're so far from God. Hush. Pray and hush. Be still and pray. Let God move. Let God arrange things. Let God show them. We hinder the work of God in other people's lives by judging them, by condemning them, by criticizing them, by nagging them, and by pressuring them and pushing them. You are not Holy Spirit Junior. Stop trying to be. You're meddling in God's business. Stop. The Holy Spirit is doing a work in us, in every one of us. He doesn't complete that work until we go home to be with the Lord. There's always things, no matter what thing that the Holy Spirit has worked out in us and we're free of this and we're this memory is bad memories behind us and this is behind us. He's always working on us, changing us into the image of Jesus Christ. And it's an ongoing process until we go home to be with the Lord. He prompts us. He urges us. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us. He doesn't guilt us. We have this thing in us that we want to fix people or correct people, other people. Let God deal with people. Walk away from you trying to fix or correct them. It does no good whatsoever to guilt and shame people to try to change them. Pray. Sometimes well-meaning people just need to hush and let God do His work. Jeremiah 30:17, "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, saith the Lord." The Holy Spirit will bring healing and restoration in your life. You may feel it's not possible. The wounds are too deep. The hurts are too raw. The memories are too strong. The Holy Spirit will help you. You may have a dream, and the Holy Spirit uses that dream to help you get rid of that memory. You may read something in a book, and you realize that sets you free. You no longer hold that unforgiveness anymore. You no longer look on this situation with dread and anxiety anymore. You may have a vision. The Holy Spirit has a way to bring to us wholeness and restoration, however He chooses, with nothing missing and nothing broken in our lives. Jeremiah 30:17 again, "For I shall heal perfectly thy wound." This is the Wycliffe Bible. "I shall heal perfectly thy wound and make thee whole of thy wounds, saith the Lord. I shall make thee whole from thy wounds." Jeremiah 30:17 in the Dewey Rames American edition, "For I'll close up thy scar and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord." I like that. I believe there's an anointing to heal spiritual wounds today. Maybe wounds from the past are trying to hang on to your life. I believe God is saying to you, and I believe this is a prophetic scripture for you today, a lot of you today. It's a word from God directly to you. This is in the Passion Translation, Isaiah 43:18-19. And it's whichever translation speaks to you the strongest. I'm going to read several, and Pastor Sharon will be up in just a second. "Stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember those former things. I'm doing something brand new, something unheard of." In the Expanded Bible, it says, "The Lord says, forget what happened before and do not think about or consider or dwell on the past. Look at the new thing I'm going to do, and it's already happening. Don't you see it?" In the Message Translation, "Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it?" And in the Voice Translation, "Watch closely. I'm preparing something new and it's happening now. Even as I speak and you're about to see it, I'm preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where there had been none before." No matter where you are today, God can restore you this day. God can make you whole again. If He can do it for my dad, He can do it for you. And He wants to. Pastor Sharon.
Amen. That was an awesome word. Praise God. And I'm continuing on with emotional healing and restoration. And I want to begin in James 1:17. It says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting sand." So everything God gives is good and it's perfect. And He will never change. He will always be good. He'll always give good things. He'll always give perfect gifts. So whatever bad experiences that you've had in your life, it didn't come from God. It came from the devil. It was the enemy. John 10:10 says, The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and a rich and satisfying life. So that's what God's purpose is. He wants to give you a rich and satisfying life. But the enemy, he wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy your life. So any bad experiences that you've had, it is from the enemy. You know, so many people get hung up. You know, why did this happen to me? Or why did that happen to me? It was the devil. It was the enemy. He hates you. See, God knows what His plan for your life was. And the enemy came in and he said, "Nope, I'm going to stop that. They're not going to be what I have called them to be. They're not going to touch other people's lives with the gospel, you know, I'm going to stop this. Come on, I'm going to put this bad thing in their life so that they can't be fully what God has intended them to be. That's the devil's purpose. That's what he does. But God is a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, all of us have suffered emotional pain in our life at one time or another. But some people much, much more than other people have suffered so much. But you know, no matter how much pain you have suffered, the Lord is the healer and the Lord is the restorer. That's who our God is. He can do all things. Amen. All things are possible with our God. There's no case that's too hard for Him. There's nothing that you've been through in your life that God cannot heal and turn around. God can heal your wounds and restore your life in such a way that pain, that emotional pain that you've been through will no longer control your life, will no longer press you down, will no longer depress you and oppress you. He can turn that around in your life in such a way. But it's only God.
Yes.
Only God can do that. No man can do it. I know there's some good psychiatrists and there's some good counselors and all these things to help us along our way. But God is the one that heals and God is the one that restores. He's the one that can give us that peace in our heart or in our minds that passes all understanding. And it will keep our lives if we keep our minds stayed on Him, keep our heart fresh in the Lord. God can heal and restore. But that's something, as I said, only God can do. We can't do it outside of God. It maybe for a time will feel better, but it won't be a lasting healing as what God can give you. Emotional pain has to be healed from the inside, not the outside. There's nothing you can do on the outside to heal your emotions. It has to be done on the inside of you. You know, we try to put on a happy face. We put a big smile on our face and act like nothing's ever gone wrong in our life. Everything's just been wonderful and great. We've never had any problems. We've never been wounded in our life. Or we try to be successful in life. You know, we busy ourselves trying to be so successful, and we keep ourselves so busy, and we think, you know, if I'm just busy enough, if I just succeed enough, if I just climb the ladder far enough, then I won't have this pain in my life. I won't have these emotional wounds in my life. Or, you know, we try to look good on the outside. We think if we look good on the outside, people won't see the pain on the inside. Or we try to marry the perfect person. Or we try to drive the perfect car. We try to live in the perfect house. Or we try to go on the perfect vacations. We try to feel all these things in our life. But the healing's got to come from inside. All these things on the outside are not going to heal those emotional wounds. Only God can do that. Amen? Nothing you can do on the outside can heal. Only God can heal from the inside out. But God is the healer of wounded emotions. But there is a process. This is something we have to work at. It doesn't just come automatically. It's not we're going to go to bed one day with this pain in our emotions and we're going to wake up in the morning, it's all going to be gone. No, there's certain things that we have to do to bring that healing about. And see, we still got an enemy fighting against us, still working against us, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. So we're pressing through. We're pushing through those things. But the first thing that we've got to do in the process of our healing is we've got to spend time with God. You know, we're so used to being so busy. We're used to trying to fill up that wound with being so busy and trying to accomplish and have a strong drive. But we've got to push all those things aside, and we've got to, first of all, get along with God. And in order to do that, in order to be able to really press through, we've got to turn off the noise. Turn off the distractions. Turn off the TV. Get off the computer. Turn that computer off. Turn off your cell phone. Now, I know that one hurt you, but, we've got to do these things in order to be alone with God. Amen? James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. So talk to God. That's what praying is. Praying is just talking to God. We try to make praying so hard, so difficult, we got to do it just right. We got to be in just the right position. It's got to be just right. No, talk to God, just like you would talk to a friend. He is your friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. So go to your friend. Go to your Lord. Talk to Him and be real with Him. We can't hide anything from God. We might as well just be real. Amen. And just pour your heart out to Him. Tell Him, I'm a mess. I don't know how to fix this. I've done everything. I've tried everything. But I don't know what to do. And that's a good place to be. Amen. Where you don't know what to do or where you can't fix it in yourself. Amen. But you go to God and tell Him, God, I need you to heal me. Amen. Empty out every emotional wound that you have on the inside of you. Empty it out before God. Pour it out before Him. And then fill yourself up with God. After you've emptied all that out, fill yourself up with God. Read the Word of God. Even if, start out reading just one scripture a day. Just read the Word of God. See, we've got to get that Word of God on the inside of us, because the Word of God is going to change the way we think. It's going to change. It's going to bring truth into our life. See, the enemy has put lies there all of your life. But we've got God's Word is truth, and we've got to put the truth on the inside of us. Listen to faith-building preaching and teaching. Amen? Listen to something that will stir your heart up, something that will minister to you, something you can say, yes, I want to be like what the Word says I am. I want to have what the Word says I can have. I want to do what the Word says I can do. Listen to faith-building messages. Read books that are positive and uplifting, things that will bring peace and strength to you. See, we're pressing through. We're pressing through all the lies of the enemy. We're pressing through all the things that the enemy has come against us with. Amen. God has got healing for you. But we have to be disciplined every day to fill ourselves up with God. This is everybody. We don't get to a place where we can just say, well, I'm full of God now. I don't have to read the Word. I don't have to pray. I don't have to get in God's presence. No, we have to do this on a daily basis, and we have to be disciplined to do that. Be disciplined to be in the Word. Be disciplined to pray every day. Be disciplined to hear positive faith-building messages every day. And if you're filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit every day. Amen. You draw close to God. You draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Isaiah 61, starting with verse 1. Says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. God's Word is good news, amen? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. See, God is the one that will deliver you. He brings you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. He's saying today that the prison doors are opened. When you come to Him, that prison door is open. He's wanting you to just be free today, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He has opened that door. You are released today. Amen. You are no longer a prisoner to those things, that those bad experiences that you've gone through. You're no longer a prisoner to that. God is the healer and He is the restorer. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will receive your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. Your life will be filled with a double portion of God. Amen? A double portion of goodness. As Pastor said, God will repay you. God will repay you with a double portion today. And everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery. I hate wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. You have an everlasting covenant today of healing, an everlasting covenant today of restoration, amen? An everlasting covenant of the double blessing today, double goodness of God on your life today, amen? Expect the double blessing and the double, what the enemy has meant for your harm, God's going to do double good. Amen. He's going to turn that situation around in your life. Hallelujah. He is a good God. God is in the business of turning messes into miracles. Amen. He is going to make your life a miracle today. Hallelujah. He wants to turn those ashes, and he wants to those ashes that the enemy has caused in your life, He wants to crown you with beauty. Amen? Hallelujah. He has good things in store for His people. I say no to the devil. I say no to those lies that he's told me. I say no to those negative experiences and negative emotions that the enemy has tried to come against my life with. Amen? And you can do the same thing today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. You might think, well, you know, I had a bad childhood, Pastor Sharon. It doesn't matter. That old life is gone. A new life has begun. Amen. When the enemy tries to come back with those thoughts, he'll come back. I'm not saying you won't ever have another thought of those bad experiences. The devil is the devil. That's what he does. But all you got to say is, no, that old life is gone. I have a new life and it has already begun. Praise God. You might think, well, I had a bad marriage. It doesn't matter. The old life is gone. Hallelujah. And the new life has begun. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've done a lot of wrong things. Doesn't matter. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'll get Ashley to come in if she will. Hallelujah. As Pastor and I are closing out, I want to end with Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. To feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with Him, not from my own earning, but for His name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will dread no evil, For you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, of the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Amen. That should be our desire today. Amen. That his presence is our dwelling place. And you know, we can dwell in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We can go to him 24/7, any time of the day or night, and the Lord is there. He'll never be asleep. He'll never be away on vacation. He'll never say, well, I'm busy right now. No, anytime you go to the Lord, he is always there to spend time with you, to fellowship with you, to minister to you, to help you. Whatever your need is, he is always available. Amen. He's a good God.
Yes.
Pastor. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. That was
Hallelujah.
A great message. Great message.
Praise God. If that's you this morning, if you were going through any kind of emotional wounds that just won't stop, you know, the enemy just wants to hound you with these thoughts constantly, try to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Well, you know, God's more powerful than the devil. And God is the healer and God is the restorer. So let's just pray for them today. And if that's you today, I ask you to just bow your heads with us and pray. Heavenly Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over each and every person today watching and hearing this message today. And Father, I know that there's people, Father God, with the emotional wounds that the enemy has just tried to steal and kill and destroy their lives with. But Father, we know that you are the healer. We know that you are the restorer. And Father, we just ask right now that you just touch each and every person, Father God, and you minister to them, Father God, in the way that only you can do. And we thank you, Father God, that this is a new day. This is a new time, Father God. We thank you that you're doing a new thing in their life. And we thank you, Lord, that they are surrendering areas in their life to you, Father God, that they will surround themselves with you. They'll surround themselves with the Word, with the ministering of the Word and reading the Word and hearing the Word. Father, we thank you for a change in emotions. We thank you for a healing in emotions, Father God, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we declare over them, as Ashley's coming, we declare over them today wholeness. And restoration.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus,
yes.
It's a brand new day for
yes.
you today. This
Thank
day,
God.
God's doing a new thing
Thank you, Jesus.
In your life. In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You don't know the Lord as your Savior this morning, and you would like to ask him into your heart. You would like for him to be Lord of your life. We want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning, if you will just bow your heads with us and pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Father, from this day forth. I serve you. I live for you. And I thank you for it, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I also want to give you this opportunity, if maybe even you've ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, but maybe you've strayed away in areas of your life. Maybe you're not as close to the Lord as you once were, and you'd like to rededicate your life to him. I want to give you this opportunity to pray with us also, if you'll just bow your heads and repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I ask you to give me a fresh, new beginning. Father, I thank you that you forgive me of my sins. And Father, I rededicate and I reconsecrate my life to you. I surrender my heart and my ways to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed those prayers with us today, we would love for you to send us a comment and let us know that you've asked the Lord into your heart or you've rededicated your heart to the Lord. And we would love to just rejoice with you for what God has done in your life today. Amen. Ashley.